I've been saying that tonight we're going back to school, and so we've got a bit of a quiz. Just, you know, we have quizzes at school. It's kids versus adults. And this quiz will not only introduce us to the book of Titus, but it'll help us thinking about what it's like to be back at school. So I better make sure I look at my notes so I know which group to ask the easy questions and which group to ask the hard... No, sorry. No, that's... Ignore that. All right. We'll have this for the adults. So we're looking at Titus, book in the Bible. How many books are in the Bible? This is for the adults, Archer. All right. I see... Oh, okay. Sarah.
88.
88. Do you want to have a second guess? Or... 66. Was that your answer? Well done. 66. There you go. Well done, Sarah. It's good to see you back. All right. So 1-0 for the adults. Kids, can you locate Titus? This is like a graphic of a bookshelf. I'll give you a clue. Titus is in the New Testament. So, all right, Matt, you want to come up and... Hang on. This thing here, it's got a pointer. Click the dot thing at the top and see if you can point to it. Yeah, and hold it down. Hold the... Oh, there it is. Round of applause for Matt. Well done. Titus is one of Paul's letters in the New Testament. So Paul's written quite a few letters, you can see there. What's different about 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus and Philemon as well a bit is that rather than being written to a whole church, those books are written to a person, usually a leader of a church. So Titus is one of those books. All right. So that's 1-1. There we go. All right. Adults. The Titus lived on a Greek island called Crete. Can anyone tell me which island it is Crete? Anyone been to the Greek islands? Oh, Mercedes is confident. Marcus, do you know? Oh, your wife says you know. Which one is it? D. Is it D? It is D. Well done. It's that big island there. So lots of Greek islands. Crete's one of those big ones. All right. And looks like the Heraklion is the capital. Or something like that. Heraklion. Kids, what is the capital of Crete? Looking for someone with their hands up. Ollie?
Heraklion.
That's probably not the right way to say it, but you're right. Well done. Good observation. So let's call that 2-2. All right, now we're getting into the school theme because we're going back to school tonight. Adults, can anyone tell me what school is this? Looking. Okay, Jen?
Rydell High School.
Is it Rydell High School? And how would you know that?
Because the pink ladies are there.
That's right. This is Rydell High from the famous movie Grease. Excellent. Well done. All right. Hands up if you're a kid and you've heard of the movie Grease. Oh, you have? The Pinnock Girls. There you go. All right. You can speak to Tim and Mel later. Yep. Look, it's not a bad movie. I don't know what it's rated, but it's pretty, I don't even know. Does it teach good morals? I don't even know. No, bad morals. I have seen it, but I'm not obsessed with it, so I can't remember. There you go. Watch it with your parents if you're going to watch it. All right. Kids, what school is this? Anyone? Archer?
Oyster Bay.
It is Oyster Bay Public School. Well, and even it says it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Now it gets interesting. This is where it gets interesting. I've done some work during the week, and I've dug up some pictures from people on our ministry staff team of when they're at school. And your job is to identify them. This is for the adults. Can anyone tell me who this cheeky little schoolboy is? Megan. It is Cameron. There you go. He told me, don't let the smile fool you. He was a terror. That's what he said. Something like that. All right. There we go. Now, this is a bit harder. Can anyone tell me who this is? Also a member of our staff team, but a newer member. This is for the kids.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is this a new member?
Charlotte.
Is this
Did you say Tian? I think you said Tian, didn't you? It is Tian. So Tian's doing JMAP. All right. 4-4. I've got no tiebreaker, so we might end up with a draw here. All right, adults, do you know who this is? Maybe the black and white will guide you. Don't point at me, Leslie. My school photos weren't in black and white. Anyone? Adults? Greta reckons it's Neil. It is Neil. There you go. All right, last one. School student. This is for the kids. Who do you think it is, Harley?
It's you.
It is me. That's right. Yeah. A bit different. There you go. So, we're going to call that 5-5. So, you know, no winners, no losers, but we've learned a bit about Titus and we've been reminded that we're going back to school. Now, speaking of going back to school, we're going to meet some of our congregation members that are school students, and they're going to read the Bible for us. So would you show your appreciation for Charlotte and Amelia? They're going to come on the stage. All right. Are you guys happy to stand here? Yep. Let me get my questions. All right. So in a minute, Charlotte and Amelia are going to read the Bible for us from Titus. So if you've got a Bible, you want to start turning up to Titus. But all right, Amelia, let's start with you. Can you tell us, we know your name, can you tell us your grade and your school?
I'm in year three and I'm at Loftus Public School.
Excellent. What about you, Charlotte? Same question.
I'm in year six at Loftus Public School.
Year six at Loftus Public School. All right, anyone with a worksheet? That was one of the answers you were looking for. All right, Amelia, what is your teacher's name?
I have two teachers, Miss Walker and Miss Kenny.
Miss Walker and Miss Kenny. Excellent. Charlotte?
I have one teacher and her name is Miss Sermon.
Miss Sermon?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Does she do sermons? No. All right. All right. Can you tell us something about your school that we wouldn't know? Tell us something about Loftus Public School that we would not know.
We have chickens as our school pet.
Chickens as your school pet? Wow. Do they lay eggs?
Yes.
What happens to the eggs?
People collect them.
Teachers take them home. Oh, okay. All right. Have you got something else, Charlotte?
My school has been around for 65 years. It was established in 1959.
Excellent. Wow, that's pretty cool. Were you there then?
No.
All right. Last question. Now, normally when we're in here, the kids are out doing kids' church. If you're here and you're a kids' church leader or an occasional helper, thank you so much. We're so grateful for your efforts. I know some of you helped out every now and then. Tell us from the last term, is there something you've learned in kids' church that has really helped you follow and love Jesus more? Something from this term.
I learned that Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
Awesome.
I learned about Jesus' resurrection.
Okay, good stuff. So they're pretty big things. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the grave? All right, now these girls are going to read for us. I'm going to put the references up on the screen. Even though we're starting the book of Titus, we're looking at a few sections. So there we go. Not just one big section, a few different sections. So I'm going to hand over to you guys and you can read for us.
Paul, a servant of God, an apostle and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of truth that leads to godliness in hope of eternal life, that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began in his own time that he has relieved his word in his preaching with which I entrusted by the command of God our Saviour. To Titus, my true son, in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, to live in a sensible, righteous and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to cleanse for himself for a people from his own possession, eager to do good works.
Would you thank Amelia and Charlotte? You guys can grab a seat. We're going to keep that section of Titus open and we're going to think about it. Now, one thing I want to point out to you is a really strange idea. This is why we've gone with a school theme tonight. It says in verse 11, doesn't it, that the grace of God instructs us. Some translations use teach or train. So this passage is all about us continuing to learn how to live God's way. And who is our teacher? The grace of God. So we need to set up our school. Here's the school, here's the table. All right, we need the teacher first. The teacher is going to put this headband on, because the teacher is not like a person. The teacher is the grace of God. We're going to have to try and understand what that means. All right. All right. Scarlett, what's your brother's name? Peter, you want to come up, Peter? All right, excellent. Give Peter a round of applause. Actually, you're going to have a job to do tonight, Peter. So you're going to put this fancy jacket on. Is that going to fit over your jumper? Probably does. All right. You've got to look smart if you're a teacher. All right, I'll explain your job in a minute. Oh, there you go. How's that? Does that feel all right? All right. So Peter is his grace. We'll talk about what grace means in a minute. We need a big, boofy person just to hold a whiteboard. We need a whiteboard. It could be an adult. It could be... The only job this person gets is to stand here and hold this. All right. Patrick, you reckon you can do it? All right. All right. Hang on. Let's put your... Just so everyone's clear who you are. Whiteboard.
I'm a whiteboard.
There you go. All right. You're going to stand here. All right. In the middle. All right. And we need a couple of students. So the students represent us. All right. Ali, you want to come? Yeah. Where I went to school, we had to wear ties. So, all right, looking for maybe another girl. All right, you want to come up, Addie? All right, we've got not Lucy, Allie and Addie. There you go. You guys take a seat here at the classroom desks. All right, I'm going to be asking you some questions. Now, it's a funny idea, isn't it? That the grace of God has appeared, brings salvation to all people, and it instructs us. Now, grace basically means God's undeserved kindness to us, the way he saves us through Jesus. And the Bible here in Titus says that grace actually teaches us. So, let's bring up our classroom. All right, your job, Peter. These are all in order. This is our lesson content. When I tell you, you're going to pick up the first one and you're going to whack it on the whiteboard. So do that. First part of the lesson. It should stay there because it's got a magnet. All right. Grace changes. So we're going to learn that this teacher actually shapes the kind of people we are. Hands up if you went to school and you were a different person at the end of school to when you started. Yeah, I think that's all of us. School's not just about, you know, memorizing information and, you know, just trying to read books. It's about shaping the kind of people we are. I remember my school motto was something like, Scots boys become fine young men. And I'm not sure if it's true or not. But schools are much more about shaping our character than they are about learning information, at least when they're doing the job well. And that's the same with grace. God's kindness to us. It's important that we understand that this is the job of grace, because we can get a bit confused about God's grace, can't we? Peter, you put the next lesson up for me. There you go, you guys, girls can have that. I'll ask you guys some questions in a minute. All right. One of the mistakes we make with grace, I'll put it on the screen as well, is that we think if we're good, if we live the right way, God will give us grace. But it's actually the other way around. God gives us grace even when we're not good. Has anyone made that mistake? We think, I need to be good enough in order for God to forgive my sin. But grace actually teaches us that God forgives our sin even though we're not good enough. That's wonderful. So that's one mistake that we're going to clarify in our lesson today. All right, Peter, next lesson. All right, students, you'll have a question. You're coming your way in a minute. All right, here's another mistake. I wonder if you've thought this as well. Because God gives us grace, it doesn't matter how we live. We think God forgives our sins. It doesn't actually matter. We can live however we want, and God still forgives us. But that's a bit of a mistake. That's not what grace in the Bible teaches. Grace teaches us lots of other things. So I know sometimes I make that mistake when I think, well, I might do this or do that, but it doesn't really matter because God's going to forgive me. That's a silly way to think, isn't it? That's not what grace teaches us. All right, next lesson, Peter. All right. If you've got your Bible open, you'll see there that grace actually teaches us two things. It teaches us to say no to some things and yes to some other things. All right. Now, students, this is your first question. What do you think grace teaches us to say no to? Do you remember the Bible reading? Maybe I should get a Bible and I can... you can. Thank you, sir. All right. Happy for audience to help them as well. We learnt, was in the second sentence, wasn't it? Grace instructs us to say no to some things and yes to some other things. All right. Here we go. Verse 12 down there where my finger is. Well, I'm helping Peter. Yeah. We're team teaching. That's the cool thing these days, isn't it? All right. Addie, what does grace teach us to say no to? Hang on, let me get the mic.
To deny godliness and worldly lust.
Well, I actually think it's deny godlessness.
Oh.
Yeah, that's an important distinction, isn't it? Yeah. Grace teaches us to say no to godlessness and worldly lusts. So, all right, another question for my students. Can you think of an example of godlessness or a worldly lust? Some way of life, something we do that God wouldn't want us to do.
Being mean.
That's a good example. Any other? Addie, you got an example?
To always follow God's word and to never forget that he's the king.
That would be a good thing. Save that answer for the next lesson. All right. Grace teaches us to deny godlessness and worldly lust. So think of all the ways of living that are against God's will. Ali had a good one, being mean, maybe being greedy, saying a lie, thinking hateful thoughts. It's not hard to think of the ways we do this. Grace teaches us to say no to these things. And we'll come back to how grace does that. So, grace teaches us to say no to godlessness and worldly lust. Next lesson, Peter. As well as teaching us to say no to all those ways of life that are against God's will, it teaches us to say yes. All right, students, what does it teach us to say yes to?
To live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the... Yeah.
Excellent. Teaches us to live a sensible, righteous, and godly way. Addie, can you think of an example of what that might look like?
to always follow God's word and not forget he's the king.
That's right. So remembering God and always following. I can think of lots of examples. Instead of being angry, we're gentle. Instead of being mean, like Ali said, we're kind. Instead of being greedy, we're being generous. All the ways God wants us to live, grace teaches us to do those things. That's hands up if you're scratching your head and thinking, how does this work? How does grace teach us to do those things? It's a pretty strange idea, isn't it? All right, next lesson, Peter. Question mark. How does it work? How does grace teach us these things? Because grace is, it's an idea. It's an attribute of God, his kindness. How does that teach us to say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness? This is a really important question, whether you're young or old, because don't you want to live a godly life? If you've been coming to church for a while, if you're a follower of Jesus, in your heart, I'm speaking to the adults here as well, don't you want to grow in godliness, to keep living in a way which pleases God? And don't you find it hard sometimes? Hard because our heart leads us astray. And the things which we know are ungodly feel easy to us. And the things which feel godly and the right thing to do, they feel hard to us. If you're anything like me, we want to grow in godliness. And this passage tells us how to do that. It reminds us to keep remembering and looking back to God's grace, the grace he has shown us in Jesus. And that, when we do that, that changes the kind of people we are. Now, next lesson, Peter. Fortunately for us, you're doing a good job there, whiteboard. I forgot you were there, which means you're doing your job well. This passage gives us three little elements of God's grace in the words itself. I'm going to borrow my student's Bible here. If you've got it open, be good to look. It says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godliness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace reminds us that we have a wonderful future with Jesus, because it says we're waiting for him to come back. And when he comes back, it's going to be glorious. And we know elsewhere from the Bible that when Jesus comes back, he's going to take us with him into the new creation. So our future with Jesus reminds us that this life, this world, is not our home. And isn't that helpful when we think about being godly? Because so many decisions about, you know, being greedy or trying to look after our own interests and not someone else, it's all because we think life is about maximizing our pleasure and our comfort and our success in this one life. Because, you know, one day we'll die and then our chance for pleasure and success and prosperity will be over. I think that's a big part of why we choose ungodly decisions. But because we've got a great future with Jesus, remember that we've got another life to look forward to, an eternal life. In a better place where there won't be any pain or suffering. And so that helps us be generous and unselfish now because we know that we won't miss out in the end. So our future with Jesus, that helps us to be godly. Next lesson, please, Peter. Thank you, whiteboard. Are you taking this in, students? You're going to have to summarize our lesson at the end. All right. What else did we read? We're waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. In a few minutes after we have our talk, we're going to be sharing in the Lord's Supper together, and I'll explain how that's going to work. But the Lord's Supper reminds us that the pivotal event that God has done for us is when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus gave himself for us. You know what that does? It changes what we love. It changes what we love. Godlessness, I should say, usually comes from loving ourselves too much. Thinking that, my aim in life is to do whatever pleases me. But when we remember that Jesus gave up his life on the cross, we come to love him. We come to love him even more than we love ourselves because of what he's done for us. And when we remember that Jesus has died to pay for our sins, something clicks. We think, I don't want to do the things which made Jesus go to the cross, do I? Because he died for those things. That wouldn't make sense. It's like being in shark-infested waters. Imagine being in shark-infested waters and you're in danger, being surrounded by sharks, and then someone rescues you out of the shark-infested waters and puts you on their boat, and you think, wow, that's a relief. I was about to get eaten up by those sharks, but someone came along and rescued me. Who, after that happening to them, will then jump back into the water with the sharks? They wouldn't, would they? Because they know it's dangerous and it's silly. It's the same with Jesus. Jesus died to pay for our sin. Now we love him and we want to do the things which please him. All right, next lesson, Peter. The third part of grace that's mentioned in this passage. There we go. What does it say? Verse 14. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. This part of Titus teaches us that because of God's grace, we are now part of his family. God has adopted us into his family. And we belong to him. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're part of a family, whether you realize it or not, you tend to do what other people in your family do. I've seen children talk the same way as their parents, walk the same way as their parents, love the same sports teams, eat the same foods, because our families shape the kind of people we are. And because we're now in God's family, we want to practice the family behaviors, the things that Jesus does. And grace says that we're now part of God's family. All right, better wrap up. You got no more lessons left, do you, Peter? We're done. All right, so God's grace helps us grow in godliness. Grace changes us. All right, now I'm going to hand over to my students. Not yet. Whiteboards don't talk. Students. So our teacher, Grace, here would like to know what you have learnt today.
That grace changes
us. That's too easy, Ali. That's a good summary. How would you put that in your own words?
He saves us.
Grace saves us. That's true. Grace does more than saving us. Addie?
Grace shows us how to live and what it tells us not to do and what to do that will please God.
That's a round of applause for Addie and Ali. See, grace, we're so used to thinking grace saves us, which is true, but the book of Titus teaches us that grace doesn't just save us, it changes us as well. When we remember what God has done for us, it shapes us into new people that want to be godly to please God, and new people that want to put away ungodliness. All right, why don't I pray and thank God for this lesson, and then I'll explain what's next. Heavenly Father, thank you for this part of your word in Titus. Thank you that we're continuing to learn what it looks like to be one of your children. Thank you that grace, your kindness to us, doesn't only save us, but your grace changes us as well. The more we remember it, the more we want to live a godly life in response to you. So please be changing us so that we would live a life that pleases you. Help us to keep remembering what Jesus has done for us and be encouraged by that. And we pray for help in Jesus' name. Amen.